Good evening to you and welcome to Tiger Talk, live every Wednesday night on Star 99 at 7 p.m. Brought to you by Dakota Bank, where we get a chance to chat with some of the coaches and figures in the Mobridge-Pollock High School athletic side of things. It's William Haynes here with you. And tonight, we are thrilled to be having another talk with the varsity head football coach, Donovan Flaherty. And we will talk about the 50-32 win over Miller this past Friday. That was an all-timer in some ways, and can't wait to get into some of that with him. We will also talk about what is a big game coming up for the football squad against Aberdeen Ron Colley at Dakota Bank Stadium in just a couple of days. Friday, 7 o'clock Central kick. We will have the pregame coverage for you starting at 6:30 right here on Star 99 and drgnews.com. Also, quickly, on the volleyball side of things for the Lady Tigers of Mobridge-Pollock, a 5-0 start to the season for them. Coach Rose Henderson, who we had on last week, just a couple of days after we talked to her, picked up her 200th career win. So a big congratulations to Coach Rose Henderson of the volleyball squad. And they took down North Central in Eureka last night in three sets, and they will pick it back up tomorrow night against Leola Frederick area. And before we speak next, the volleyball will also be at Timberlake next Tuesday night. So that's what's coming up. But without any further delay, want to get into tonight's interview. And we're really excited about having back on the show tonight your varsity head football coach, Donovan Flaherty. Coach, it's great to see you. How have you been?
Really good. Thanks for having me, William. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's always a great time. How's practice been going this week?
Pretty good. You know, we had a JV game on Monday. So then yesterday we kind of, especially with the heat, we're just kind of walking through some stuff, making sure we understood what we were looking at game plan wise, working on some fundamentals. Today was then a pretty heavy team session, trying to kind of get things timed up and organized up, making sure we're all on the same page. And then we'll have our fast Thursdays, and then we'll be ready to rock and roll on Friday.
So JV, that's something we haven't touched on before. How's that season been going for them?
So we just got to play the one game so far against right. Miller. We were supposed to play Pierre, and unfortunately that one got rescheduled. But, you know, it's just I'm just glad that we have an opportunity to play them. You know, 2 years ago, right before I started coaching varsity, head coach of varsity, we didn't have a JV schedule at all. And it's a great opportunity for those younger kids to get development, right? Eventually, those kids are going to be the kids that are running out there and they're playing on Friday nights. And we want to be able to give them opportunities for specifically their reps. We want to specifically make sure that we're able to intentionally coach them, what they need to get better at. And really, it allows us to teach our base offense of what we're trying to do, how we're trying to do it. And then as they get older and as kids' skills develop and potentially differentiate, now we can kind of open up now that playbook, and now we can kind of get into some different looks, but still running a lot of the same stuff.
And back to the varsity side of things, the game last week in Miller, it was just one of those games, for whatever reason, it seemed like guys on both sides were going down quite a bit in practice this week. Has there been any type of kind of process getting some new guys that are going to be filling in for us, or how is that looking?
Well, we're always trying to create depth. You know, we want to make sure that we have, you know, I mean, in all honesty, I'd love to be able to say I got 22 kids that can always play, that we, you know, we always have, we feel like we have a one and two deep. Now, not necessarily realistic in small town South Dakota, but we do feel like we have good depth. And, you know, that's something that we're continuing to work on. We're also trying to scale back because of all the games or all the plays we played last week. I mean, last week we played, I think it was almost 150, 160 plays. So we played almost another half of football that normally we don't play, at least another quarter, an extra quarter of snaps. And, you know, that plays a huge factor. You look at injuries, whether it be in college, whether it be in the NFL, when do most of those injuries happen? They happen in the second half because guys are getting tired. And, you know, so on both sides with guys going down, it's I would say more of a fatigue thing than it is necessarily your I don't want to say necessarily a conditioning thing. It's just, you know, it's just you naturally get fatigued playing, trying to play that hard, and you're having to play more snaps than your body is used to or ready for. And so therefore you're going to potentially break down a little bit. And that's where for us, we wanted to make sure for everybody, especially playing our JV game on Monday, we scaled things back a little bit to make sure that we're fresh on Friday. Because really, in the reality, Friday is the priority. And as long as we make sure that we have a good understanding of what we want to do, how we want to do it, we want to make sure we're taking care of our bodies and getting those kids in prime condition so that they can perform on Friday night.
Definitely. And that 50-32 win last week at Miller High Moore Herald. Can't wait to dig into this with you. Watching it from the sideline, you've watched the film back, you've met with the coaches about it. When I just say that 50-32 against Miller, what immediately comes to your mind about that game?
How did they score their 32 points?
Right.
You know, I mean, it's nice when you're able to score 50. I mean, that's the most I think we've scored in the last 2 years, which is encouraging to see. And it was just encouraging to see our offense really play well. I think we had almost 500 total yards of offense, a lot of that on the ground. But, you know, still at the same time, it's great when you can generate that type of offense. But that's where defensively, you know, it gives us an opportunity to go back and look at the film and figure out what we need to fix. Now, again, you got to give a lot of credit to Miller too. Some of their quarterback made some really good plays. You know, their receivers, you know, were able to make some good plays as well. And they had some guys step up, and you know, they got some decent athletes, and they play fairly physical on the offensive and defensive front. You know, so you got to give them a little credit too. So that's where, you know, for us, it's tinkering. It's what do we need to fix or adjust, and you know, we talked about those things during the game. We've talked about them after the game, and you know, Friday's another opportunity to show, have we grown from that? Have we gotten better from what we saw on Friday and some things that maybe weren't as good? And then on the flip side of that, you know, the things that we do really well or did really well against Miller, even against Groton, against Lead, are we still doing those things really well on Friday? Is what our strengths still our strengths, and our weaknesses, are we combating our weaknesses?
Definitely. And to those that were following, it was pretty easy to see from that Groton game, you know, 12 points, and you mentioned the need to finish drives. Well, you couldn't have done a 180 probably any better than what we saw on Friday with 50 points. So there's looks like a lot of confidence there to continue to build week in and week out. And another thing that I thought of really just even as the game was going on, that 16-0 run to start the game, you win the coin toss, you elect to receive, go down, get the 2-point, kick the onside, you get it, score again. And I know that's your mentality with the 2 points, but was that the thought going in that if everything kind of with the coin toss, that was what you wanted to go do?
So a little bit of background on that. I told our kids in the gym, I told them when we win the toss, we're going to get the ball, we're going to go score, which we did. And I told them we're going to go for 2 points, obviously. We were going to get that and do that as well. And I told them in the gym that we were going to onside kick it before we even left the gym to go get out on the field. I said, we're going to onside kick it. Shooter's going to make a great onside kick, and we're going to recover it. And we're going to go down, and we're going to score another touchdown. We're going to get another 2 points and be up 16-0. And I told them that we were going to do that, and there was going to be 4 minutes left in the first quarter. And we did all of that. The only difference was is there was 6.5 minutes left in the first quarter. But we did exactly what I had talked about. And this kind of goes back to something we did against Lead also. At halftime, we said, hey, we need to stop and a score, and we need to do it with about 6 minutes left in the third quarter. And we did it. You know, so it was a little bit of like speaking it into his existence. And it was pretty cool to watch and see us execute and do that. So if that's the case, I guess we need to change, you know, the script. I need to write the whole script of a game. You know, or, you know, I guess I just need to tell kids exactly what's going to happen every game so that we can go out and execute it. I mean, it was just kind of funny to watch and see how it happened. But, you know, you got to give our kids a lot of credit. They went out and they executed. Jackson made a couple of really nice throws in later down situations, third and long, fourth and long. You know, Shane made a great catch for a touchdown. Jackson made a heck of a play on the second rushing touchdown. He actually called that. He told us to, you know, fake the run to the right, and he kept it on his own and naked booted it to the left for a touchdown.
Wow.
You know, so it was pretty cool to be able to just see us go out there and execute and be able to do what we wanted to do and how we wanted to do it and execute in maybe some higher pressure situations.
That's awesome. Great look, you giving the players a look into your crystal ball there. And if memory serves, after you scored the second touchdown to go 16-0, Miller kept the same guy on that front line in the same spot, and you onsided to him again. And that time, I think he muffed it and they had someone else coming to get it. But you were trying to go for three straight. You were just going to keep going for it.
Yeah, I mean, they can't score if they don't have the ball, right? You know, I mean, so like if it's going to look that open and you're going to give it to us, like, we'll take a shot at it. I mean, you know, and this is where you know, yeah, maybe did I put our defense in a bad situation? Maybe. But what I've told our staff is, you know, I'm fine with putting our defense in a bad situation if it means we're able to kick it and we're getting it. I mean, if we're getting 20, 30, I mean, if you get 30% of your onside kicks, that's one out of every three that you kick, which is a potential tremendous advantage. I mean, if we look at the concept of even a whole game, even if it's six drives, you may get an extra two drives that the other team doesn't just by getting those onside kicks. And that can be a tremendous advantage where all of a sudden you get eight possessions and they get only six or five. You know, so that's a huge advantage for our defense if we can execute. Now, again, you know, did it work out the second time? No. And unfortunately, they threw a touchdown on the next play. You know, and that's going to happen sometimes. But, you know, I want our defense to know that I'm not trying to put you in a bad position because I want the ball back to score because I don't think you can stop them. I'm putting us in that position because I think I have enough confidence in our defense that if we don't get the onside kick, I believe that they can bow the neck and still get a stop.
And that hot start held true toward the end of the first quarter. Mobridge up 22-6. Miller made a little bit of a run there. It was 22-14 after a touchdown and a safety at halftime. What was kind of the message to your players at half? Because I noticed, especially when the game was really close a couple times in that second half, they always showed up in those big moments.
Yeah, you know, that's where we had to rely on, you know, Shane Henderson, Carter Hintz, Eli Eagle, Wyatt Ziegler, Axton Gates, Carter Schmeichel, Kellen Fitzer, right? We told those guys, like, we feel you guys can own up front, especially in the second half. You know, we knew that with all the plays we had already played in the first half, we knew they were tired. We knew we were fatigued, but we felt like we had more depth and we felt like we weren't as fatigued as they were. And so I really felt like we could lean on them in the second half and really use, especially Mac in the run game, to really control that second half. Now, I wouldn't say necessarily we controlled it in the sense of the tempo because we scored so fast, but the idea was we feel like we can really lean on them in the second half because we feel like we're in really good shape. We feel like our guys are in a position where now that they're fatigued and they're tired and they don't have as much depth as we do, we feel like we can really lean on those guys with some of our size, with some of our strength, and that's where we really felt like we wanted to go after them there in the second half. But you know, part of it too is we gave them that we fumbled the ball when it was 22-6. They scored on the very next play. And then in almost that third quarter, we played defense almost the entire time because we were scoring so fast in offense. So really, from about the middle of the second quarter to the end of the third quarter, it was really hard for us to control the tempo because we just never had the ball.
But that's a nice problem to have, right? That you're scoring too quickly. You're scoring too many points too fast. But you were right about, how that went down. You mentioned it a little bit earlier. Looked like that first half was maybe the best stretch of the year for the passing game. What was the biggest thing driving that success?
I think it was just the fact of I felt offensively in general, we just mixed things up so well. We were handing the ball off. We were play action passing. We were just straight drop back passing. We were, you know, running jet sweeps. We were faking a jet sweep and then, you know, quarterback keep, or we were handing it. I mean, so we just did a lot of different things. And I think we were just giving Miller so many different presentations to think about and look at that they really couldn't play fast. And so it allowed us to, and there was some stuff too, where we talked with the quarterbacks of, hey, this is specifically something we're looking at. When I'm calling this play, this is what I want to see. And this is why I'm calling it. And, you know, that's where for me as a coach, you know, I've coached O-line. I've coached O-line last year. I coached receivers the year before. And then the two or three years before that, I think I was coaching line. So I haven't coached the quarterbacks in 4 or 5 years.
Wow.
And I am a quarterback. So that's something for me that as the head coach, as the play caller, even as the quarterback's coach, for me, especially the last 2 weeks, it's been about going back and reminding myself, how did I learn best as a QB? And I need to remind myself that in my brain, I'm thinking one thing, but I got to be able to let those guys in on that. I need to be able to let them know so that they can understand where my thought process is, so they can go out and execute the way I'm hoping them to execute.
Shane Henderson, the tight end, had a few grabs early on in that game, a 25-yard touchdown. It seems like he's always open, and he's got that big 6'6 frame, but to get him the football a couple of times there, what kind of weapon do you have in him, too?
He was somebody that after last year, I was very frustrated at myself not being more intentional about getting him the ball. I don't know how many times we threw at him, but he only had 9 catches last year for like 130 yards or something, which I thought was absolutely ridiculous. And I blamed myself for that. And I told him going into that last game, I told the quarterbacks, I'm like, guys, we want to try to get Shane going early in this game. We want to try to get him the ball because through 2 games, I felt like we hadn't done a good enough job of really getting him the ball. Cause you're right. He's a great weapon to have. If you watch on film, he almost consistently is one of the first guys to 10 yards because he runs his routes really hard, you know, and he just does everything you want as a coach. He's a great blocker. He's a great pass catcher too. And so it's just being able to, again, kind of with the QBs, get on the same page with them and let them know, like, hey, this is what I'm, you know, I'm calling this play probably because I want to maybe try to get Shane the ball in this situation, or this is somebody that we need to look at. Their coverage, honestly, too, with the way they played their coverage, played a factor into that. Mm. We knew that they were going to have a safety high, but we knew that they were manned up. So we felt like we had an opportunity to hit Shane, especially on corner route type stuff, because of the angle that he was going to take. He was going to be open, and we could get the ball to him.
He's a fun player to watch on both sides. At 6'6", you can see, even this year, he got a 6'6 safety in the box. It kind of startles some people. So quite a ball player he is. And back to the quarterbacks. Shooter Frederick comes in for the second half against Miller this past week. He was just 0-for-2 throwing it, but really didn't need to do much with how great the running game was. And you flirted with the idea before the season of having Frederick as the starting QB and having Jackson Eisman at receiver. So in that regard, I guess your confidence in him as a sophomore to perform this year if needed is pretty good.
Yeah, you know, we want to continue to develop all of our QBs. You know, we got another kid that's a sophomore in Wyatt Henderson. We got Truth Crow Ghost as a freshman. You know, eventually my son, who's in eighth grade, Michael, when he gets older, you know, we want to continue to grow those guys. We want to continue to develop them. I mean, I want to be able to consistently have QBs, because even if they end up moving positions as they get older, because of their skill set, or, you know, for whatever, or just to find a different place for them on the field so we can get them on the field. You know, I want to be able to do that, because if they understand the quarterback position, they should know what everybody is doing on pretty much any play. So it allows them, as they get older, if they know the quarterback position, they know the offense. And that helps them out to be able to make a transition if they need to another position. You know, but we want to continue to grow and develop them. I mean, both of them, all three of them played snaps at QB2 in our JV game, because we want to continue to focus on that development. You know, Shooter, it's his first year in the system. Wyatt, this is his second year in the system. And honestly, we're still growing the system, you know, and so that's something where we want to continue to just get them as many reps as we can so that they can just be comfortable once they have to step into that type of a situation.
If Frederick is a guy that we see in the not too distant future, the strengths for him, I mean, he's got, in limited action we've seen, he throws the ball pretty hard, and he's got good size. He's tall as well. What do you see in him as a QB?
Oh, exactly what you just said. You know, he's got a really good arm. He's 6'3", maybe 6'4". I mean, he's tall, you know, which is nice. He's maybe not the most dynamic runner, but he, you know, he's got decent legs. You know, but he can spin it really well. He can maybe be somebody that, if he steps into a quarterbacking role, we can maybe push the ball vertical a little bit more. You know, but for him, it's just about continuing to really grasp and understand the offense. Cause at the end of the day, we still want to be able to run the ball. And that's where then what we can do is we can use him off of play action, or use any QB really, if we wanted to, off of play action. And just being able to control the tempo of the game and make high percentage passes.
Makes it a lot easier to play quarterback at Mobridge Pollock when you can turn around and hand the ball off to number four. So that's where we're going next. You can't tell the story of that 50-32 win over Miller without talking about how good the run game was. Nearly 400 yards, 5 touchdowns on the ground. How often have you seen a performance like that in a game running the football?
So actually, when I was in high school, I was a sophomore, and our running back ran for, I think it, at that time, it was a 9-man record of 560. And it was similar to our game on Friday in the sense of, you know, the team we were playing, they would go down, they'd have maybe a little bit longer of a drive, they'd score. And then we'd turn around and it was like one or two plays and you know, our running back would score in that game. So it kind of reminded me a little bit of that, you know, but you got to give a lot of credit to our O-line.
Yeah.
Shane as our tight end, Kellen as our fullback, like, those guys did such a great job of opening up holes, finishing blocks. Yes, Mac ran extremely well. And there were a couple times where he literally came out of a pile. And I mean, Mac, that's not to take anything away from Mac. Mac is obviously a very incredible ball player. But that O-line, like we talked about earlier, we really emphasized them controlling the line of scrimmage, especially in the second half. And man, I thought they did a heck of a job doing that. You know, Coach Merkel's done a great job getting them coached up. Coach Nas has helped out too, doing a great job making sure that they're prepared every week. And then we needed to make slight adjustments. And we talked about some different things at halftime. We made those adjustments and we went out and executed. And that's really more than anything what you want to continue to see. And obviously, you know, with Mac, Mac's going to be a great second half back always, especially when he runs as hard as he did. He didn't play a lot of defense. We kind of planned on that because of how much they threw the ball. So he didn't play near as much defense. He was really fresh at halftime. And that allowed him just to really, you know, pump them legs and just run through guys and be able to finish his runs and get to the end zone.
His name comes up a lot, but an unbelievable performance for him. A defensive score there towards the end made it 4 touchdowns. And I didn't see the official mark, but word in the press box, maybe 250 on the ground. And the thing that I was thinking watching that, you know, I think coaches, I think they hate arm tackles maybe more than anything else in the game. And I've never seen anybody make defenses pay for arm tackles maybe more than Mac Saxon.
Well, it helps when you're super, super strong. I mean, he's 5'9", and he just runs so hard. I mean, he's a big back. Like I've said before, I think it was last time we had talked too, like I feel very fortunate to be able to coach a kid like him, because yes, he's a tremendous talent, but he's also a kid that he has worked his tail off, and he continues to work his tail off all the time. He and I'm constantly pushing him to continue to get better, and he wants to get better. And that's really, in my opinion, what really sets him apart. It's not just he's really talented and he's great. He's worked really hard for it, and he wants to continue to get better. He doesn't feel like he's hit his ceiling yet, and we want to continue to do that. You know, and that's where, too, even within our running game, obviously, Mac, you know, we want to continue to get him the ball, but that's where, too, we want to get guys like Tyler Schmeichel involved, right? He's a super hard runner as well. We want to get guys like Peter Freed when we need a breather. We want to get him the ball, too. So we're going to get some carries. And we just want to really, again, continue to lean on the teams that we play and really work our O-line and making sure that they're getting the job done, because we feel like that can be a strength of our team.
Yeah, Schmeichel, he's a battering ram when he comes in the game. I know he had a touchdown there close near the goal line. To me, far and away, the biggest improvement from last year to this season, just watching some of the film from last year and being at the games this year, is the play on the offensive line. Tell us what you've been seeing. You mentioned a little bit of it earlier, what you've been seeing from that unit. You know, you specifically wanted to coach offensive line here so you could learn more about that position and technically what they're doing and how far they've come. And I mean, they're really major push off the line on almost every play.
Yeah, and I think it's just the growth of a year. You know, you have something that I look back on last year, I should have done a better job of playing Elijah Moore on our O-line. And that was a mistake that I made as I went back and looked back at film from last year. I should have done a better job. He's such a good down blocker. He's so big and so strong. You know, Carter's playing tackle now as a senior. This is his third year on the varsity O-line. Maybe last year was his first year starting. I don't remember, but he's had a lot of reps there. You know, so he's going from his junior to his senior year. You got Wyatt Ziegler, who came in and rotated in. Well, he went from sophomore to junior. And you can tell, if you look at his physique last year compared to this year, he looks like a totally different ball player. He's worked so hard to get better. Axton Gates has really came into his own. This is his third year now starting as a junior. So he bumped up just sophomore to junior, you know. So we got four guys there that really have I think, taken that year jump. They've been in the system, they know what they're doing, and now they're able to execute at a more effective level. We've changed a couple things slightly schematically, but I feel like that's really played into their strengths. You know, you got a kid like Carter Schmeichel, who was in the system last year, but really grew this offseason and has really done a great job coming into his own now as a sophomore. You know, so you got five guys on the line that, you know, part of it is it's just that year one to year two jump of being in the same system. And you also got that jump of all those kids just maturing a year. And it's amazing for high school kids how much a year can make in terms of a difference.
Right. Yeah. Not just that time in the months and years in the weight room and putting on weight. Would you say, too, that offensive line is maybe one of the most important positions to have those game reps when you talk about that experience in the system and everything?
Yeah, and I think it plays a huge factor in the cohesiveness, right? Yeah. Being able to work together. It's five, you know, it's five guys. And in our case, we got, you know, a tight end and a fullback. I mean, we have almost seven guys that kind of got to all be on the same page. And again, with all seven of them, it was a lot of it was just being able to start getting the base of the system last year. And now we've, you know, we've grown now a year in the system and just getting more comfortable with what we're doing, how we're doing it. I would say as a play caller, having the coaches around me, I feel like we've game planned better to meet the strengths too of our O-line and to attack the weaknesses of the defense. You know, so I think the whole operation has just been better. And I think the O-line and the running game especially is something that's really benefited it. You know, and in my opinion too, as much as I love quarterback play, as much as I would love to throw the ball around, you know, and whatever, I firmly believe no matter what you do offensively or defensively, you win or lose the game in the trenches. You have to be really good with your O-line. You have to be really good with your D-line. And if you're not, you are going to struggle.
Moving to the defensive side of the football there, you said before the game the key to slowing down Miller's air attack, it was going to be the pass rush. And really, it looked like that's what it came down to, at least 5 sacks that I could count on Derek Brueggemann. Wyatt Ziegler, I think Cage Yellow got in there, a couple other names. It seemed like lots of guys were winning their matchups and doing some damage on him. As hard as he was to sack, he was escapable, but yeah, they were able to bring him down too.
Yeah, and you got to give him a lot of credit. I mean, he's a heck of an athlete. He was really running back there sometimes for his life, and you know, he really did a great job of extending plays, keeping his eyes downfield, and at times making some really nice passes. I mean, there was a 4th down and I think 8 that I remember, and you know, Mac, I think, was playing safety at the time, and he just kind of got his eyes lost in the backfield, and the kid throws it perfectly over him. And the guy catches it for a 15-yard gain. I mean, it was just, you know, it was one of those things where I just kind of was like, okay, good for him. Like, great play. You know, we just got to pick ourselves up. And that's the tough part when you play a team like that that can throw that you're not used to seeing in the state of South Dakota.
Yeah.
When you have a quarterback that can really extend plays like that, I mean, it's just a nightmare on defense because there's only so much ground you can cover. You know, and especially playing a zone, sometimes we get lost with our eyes too much on the quarterback. We're not able to open up our vision a little bit. And that's something that we've really been pressing upon to our kids this week and something we're trying to get better at.
Yeah, you said towards the beginning, how did Miller score 32 points and just 1 for 11 they were on 3rd downs? But it was Brueggemann making magic on 4th downs. That 4th and goal at the 17 was, that was unbelievable, but ultimately able to overcome that. Probably the most potent pass offense that you'll see in 11B. And the starting corners, Cale Knutson and Luke Olsen, both sophomores, all things considered, they held up pretty well. Your thoughts on watching those youngsters play?
I got to give a huge shout out to Mr. Luke Olsen, as well as then also Shane. We had planned on really doing a good job on zero. Because he had a great week the first week against Hot Springs. He had like 11 catches for over 100 yards. He had like maybe 3 or 4 catches, and he was about done about halfway through the 3rd quarter. Like, he just started cramping, and he was out most of the rest of the game. And so you got to give Luke and Shane a lot of credit for the way that they played while he was in. The first play of the game, we actually ended up not double teaming him, and he ended up high pointing the ball and going for a touchdown. And after that, it was like, okay, well, we're just going to just lock him down and we'll be fine. And we were. And that's a huge credit to Luke and the work that he put in. That's a huge credit to Coach Norder, coaching up both him and Cale, and Shane, and just being able to execute our scheme. And you know, and I shouldn't even say just those three guys. You know, that's a credit to Coach Nas on as the defensive coordinator. It's a credit to our defensive line for then being able to get after Derek Brueggemann. I mean, it was a whole team effort too. But I thought that those guys did a tremendous job of just making sure that we were able to go out there and execute.
Playing an offense like Miller, not just how much they throw, but the spread formations and stuff that they run, do you think there's a benefit to your defense being as accustomed to they are as they are with 5 DBs on the field with that 3-3 stack?
I mean, yeah. You know, I feel like out of our 3-3 stack, we can cover anything from, you know, a tight formation like what we want to do, or a team that really runs the ball, to a spread formation. And it has nothing to do with trying to be, you know, it's the newest fad or whatever. That's just our system. And our system, we might have to tinker some stuff. We might have to make some little wrinkles depending on who we're playing on a given week. But, you know, we feel like we can defend pretty much whatever we need to defend because feel like we have a whole system. We're not just running a bunch of plays. Hmm.
After one of the most eventful games you'll probably ever see, you turn around to play Aberdeen-Roncalli in just a couple of days. They've won the last 4 matchups against Mobridge-Pollock. It was 42-22. A year ago. What is it that they do so well, especially against us in recent years?
You know, they've had a lot of seniors the last couple of years. You know, last year, I don't think they maybe had as many seniors, but they were definitely a very experienced team, and they bring a lot of that experience back. You know, they probably are not as strong in the trenches as they were last year, because that's what they did have for seniors that they did lose. But, you know, they're going to still... You know, they're going to come after us. And they did a really good job last year of messing with our eyes, especially with our linebackers. And our linebackers were not as disciplined as they needed to be with their eyes. And they put themselves in bad situations, and then they opened up holes that they were able to really run through and hurt us with. You know, so you got to give a lot of credit to their offensive coordinator and what they did offensively to be able to score those 42 points and to put us in binds defensively. And that's where, for us, it's a great opportunity for us to look back and say, okay, here's what we did bad about our scheme. Let's get better at this, right? And so that's something that we're really working on this week. And we're taking into account what happened last year. You know, but for us, I feel like more than anything, we got to be able to go in there, and especially at the stadium, we got to find ourselves comfortable there. The first couple times we played in that stadium, I felt like it's been bright lights, and we just kind of have shied away with the way that we've played. And I don't think that that's the mentality of this team. I think we're the type of team that, you know, especially now with these first three games under our belt, there's a swagger about us and a, you know, I've told our kids before, like, we want to get in fist fights, and we're okay with getting in fist fights. We're okay with meeting teams in the back alley and getting after it and getting down and dirty. And that's where I think that mentality is going to travel. That's something that doesn't just travel from game to game, week to week. I think that's a mentality and a mindset that can travel also later in the season and be a part of potentially a playoff run.
Loved what you said. Yeah, the need for eye discipline. As soon as you turn on that Roncalli tape, it's ball fake after ball fake, and they're faking one way and going another. They beat a decent dual team at home last week, 21-12. Their week one loss, 2-0 to Clark Willow Lake. Was that an actual score? Was that a forfeit?
It was an actual score.
Finish 2-0.
Yeah, it was an actual score. There was a safety in about the middle of the second quarter, and that was the only scoring. So a lot of good defense on that game.
Is that the worst way to lose a game, 2-0 on a safety?
Probably close. I mean, I'm sure that there's other ways that it's not. I mean, it's never fun to lose, but you know, it's definitely difficult in high school football when you get zeroed, for sure. And I can speak from experience on that as an offensive coordinator. There's no worse feeling as an offensive coordinator when you put up a zero on the scoreboard for your squad. And so that's where then you really got to go back and look at, okay, what do we need to do different? And if you notice, if you watch the film from the first game to the second game, they did quite a few things different. They switched their quarterback and their running back. That made them a little bit more, I would say, a little bit more dynamic. They spread things out a little bit more against dual to try to give themselves lighter boxes to have to block up. You know, so as an offensive coordinator, you got to make those adjustments in order to put your team in the position where you feel like you can be the most successful. So you got to give a lot of credit to their coaching staff for recognizing maybe some things that they need to do a little bit different to be a little bit better and to be a little more potent offensively and to score some touchdowns. You know, and it's for us, it's something that we need to look at. We need to understand and realize, but we also can't take anything for granted. You know, we still got to go in there with the mentality of we're gonna punch you in the mouth. And that, for us, the biggest thing for us is being able to continue to do that over and over and over again throughout the course of the game.
Love to get your thoughts on this. Aberdeen Roncalli faced a little bit of a quirk in the schedule. They already had their bye. It was between their first two games on August 30th. I struggle to see how that could benefit them. We've got your bye after this game, so you've got four games bye and then your last four games. Does it at least help you to have yours in the middle instead of at the beginning so quick right there before you can get your feet under you?
Well, one thing I'll say for them is it was fortunate for them to have the bye that they did, because they were at our Groton game. You know, so they were able to scout Groton, they were able to scout us, and we're both on the schedule later in the year. So for them, in that sense, maybe it worked out.
Okay.
You know, but in terms of, you know, me personally, I don't want to have a bye. I'd rather just play every game. I'd rather play every week. That's what I mean. You know, it'll be nice next week to be able to kind of take a step back to slow some things down. But, you know, in reality, when that Friday comes around, as a coach, as a player, you want to be out there playing. And it's not fun when you're, you know, even if you go scout a team, okay, great, fantastic. I mean, as a coach, I don't want to scout anybody on a Friday night. I'll probably be at home hanging out with my family because that's what I'm going to want to do in that situation. If I'm not going to go out there and play, then I want to spend time with my family. And that's what I'm going to encourage our kids and our coaches to do. Go spend time with your family. Go and go enjoy yourself. Go get away from the game just maybe for a little bit. But, you know, I really struggle with the concept of a bye just because I'd rather just be playing. Because as a player, you only get so many opportunities to go play on Friday night.
Right, yeah, with an 8-game schedule, yeah, that bye is a little bit strange. You mentioned the bright lights maybe in years past, but the opportunity, of course, the focus is always just on the football game, but a first-rate college facility, Dakota Bank Stadium in Aberdeen. Is that kind of something you can look at maybe this year versus years past? It's just not to get phased by it, but it's just a cool experience. You know, it's not often you get to do something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great experience for our kids. Great exposure to be able to go out to a stadium like that and play in that type of an environment. I know that there's other teams that have changed their schedules around to be able to play at that field, and it's a really nice field. You know, I just for us and our kids, we got to make sure that we come ready to go with the right mindset, and we focus on executing, and the lights aren't too bright for us.
The last question I've got for you, Coach, it's a fun one. As a football coach, I think they always see the game a lot differently than most of us. Watching these first few college and NFL games, has there been anything that's been catching your attention, maybe trends, some new schemes, coaches or players you really admire?
I'm watching Texas a lot this year. I hate to say it, but Texas might be back. they're really good. They are really good. And I gravitate more toward college. Now that Jordan Love got hurt for the Packers, I hope Malik Willis is halfway decent, but I'm really concerned about their playoff chances. So now I'm almost now all college because, Green Bay the next couple weeks, I'm going to be nervous for that. College-wise, I'm just interested to see how things play out because things are so different now. You don't have the Final Four anymore. Yeah. You have the Final 12. You have to winning your conference automatically gets you in. I think it's just so cool that all these fan bases now feel like, you know, later in November, they still may have a chance and they're still engaged in college football. And it's really neat to see, in my opinion. In terms of trends, you know, there's been the boot throwback screen, which is super cool to see. I saw a lot of guys running running back wheel within a tight end leak, which is super cool. There's always those different trends. You watch college football now compared to when I was in college. So, you know, give or take about 10 years ago. 10 years ago, it was 3-by-1 receivers, 2-by-2 receivers. You're spreading the field. You're throwing the ball around. You're tempoing teams. You're trying to run. You know, if you're in college, you're running probably 80, 90 offensive plays a game. And now you've seen this huge shift, especially in the college ranks, where the better offenses are the teams that are moving around, whether it be motion, whether it be shifts and motions, getting creative, slowing down the tempo of the game a little bit, but giving more for the defense to look at. There's still the RPO games, not as big as it used to be, but because of all the shifting and movement, they're trying to create a lot of confusion for defenses. And that's something that in building our offense, I was a spread guy, obviously, like I just said, in college, but building our offense, I wanted to do a lot more of that communication. I wanted to force defenses to have to communicate because I saw that and I said, okay, well, if it's working at the college level, how much worse is communication sometimes within high school teams? I'm not coaching against Aberdeen's coaches on Friday. I'm coaching against their 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18-year-old kids. If I can confuse those kids, we have an opportunity to do some really nice things.
That's awesome insight. Can't thank you enough, Coach. It's always great to chat with you.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you, William.
It is always so great to sit down with Donovan Flaherty and talk some football. Your Mobridge Pollock varsity head football coach. We're really appreciative to him for how gracious he is with his time with us. And want to thank everyone out there for tuning in to this week's edition of Tiger Talk, brought to you by Dakota Bank. Again, coming up for the football team, they'll be at Aberdeen Roncalli at Dakota Bank Stadium on Friday, just a couple of days from now. Kickoff at 7 o'clock. We'll have the play-by-play on Star 99 and drgnews.com. The pregame coverage, where we will have a pregame interview with Coach Flaherty and others. That will start at 6:30. And what's ahead for the volleyball team? Leola Frederick will be hosting Mobridge Pollock tomorrow night, and the Lady Tigers will travel to Timberlake next Tuesday, and lots of things going on for cross country as well that we will get into later on. I've been William Haynes. This is Tiger Talk, and you're listening to Star 99.